Today's daf in Masechet Yoma, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Ayin Gimel. And yesterday we were talking about the relationship of the Kohen Mashuach Milchama to the Big Day Kuhuna. And the last thing that we had learned was that a Mashuach Milchama actually is Mishamish B'Shmoneh Begadim in the Beis HaMikdash, and that nonetheless, he is not considered to be primarily for the purposes of Knisa LeMikdash. Therefore, he's not the one that's going to be actually doing the Avodah Yom HaKippurim. And we learned out, meanwhile, that that means that he's not included in the Pasuk that we find by the Miluim of Shivat Yamim Yobashem HaKohen Tachtav Mibanav, and that therefore he will not pass on his position to his child. That was the last thing that we learned. So today the Gemara asks, on this entire idea that the Mashuach Milchama is, if he goes into the Beis HaMikdash to do normal Aveda, that he is only kosher if he wears Shmoneh Begadim. Today asks the Gemara, Meisevei, so here we ask now on the sixth line, Mashuach Milchama Einu Mishamesh Lo Ba'arba'a Kekohen Ediyot Velo Bishmoneh Kekohen Gadol. That actually, a Mashuach Milchama does not use his Shmoneh Begadim, but he also does not use four begadim. So, isn't that akasha to you? Omalei Abaya, come on. I mean, let's use our heads. What are you saying? Are you saying that, what, he's not a Kohen? He's a Tzar? And he can't use anything? And he doesn't have kuna? He has neither the kashas of a Kohen with Shmoneh Begadim, nor does he have the kashas of a Kohen Etiot Be'arba Begadim. So basically, you're saying, okay, so he never has a din of a Kohen. I mean, obviously, that can't be what it means. He's called a Kohen. Ella, what it means is like this. He shouldn't wear the Shmoneh Begadim, not that he's not supposed to be the Kohen through the Shmoneh Begadim, but that the Chachamim felt that this would cause all kinds of competition between the Kohen Gadol and the Kohen Mashuach Milchama, if there's another one that's doing Aveda and Shmoneh Begadim, and that because of that, it's best that he not do the Aveda. So, Midiraisi, he ought to do Aveda and Shmoneh Begadim, but in order to avoid political complications where it loses, where there, it creates the Eva with the Kohen Gadol, so because of that, it said over here, he's not Mishamish. We can't have him undo his Chashivas and say, okay, we now take away your Chashivas because that's a din malin b'kodesh v'lo moridin. So we can't possibly have him be Mishamish unless than he was already determined to be. Says Rav Ada bar Ava LaRava, that cannot be the reason. Abaya is claiming that the reason that a Mashuach Milchama does not wear his Shmoneh Begadim is a Darabbanan because we don't want there to be a Va. Well, I'm going to bring you a Tana in a Braisa that does not care about a Va, and he does not consider it to be a meaningful problem. And nonetheless, he says that the Kohen Mashuach Milchama does not wear the Shmoneh Begadim. Now, that means that there's some other principle that's operative here, not the principle that you claim. The operative principle is what if it isn't Eva? So let me show you this Tana. Hai Tana Delet Le'eva. And nonetheless, Loka Meshamesh, he still says that the Kohen Mashuach Milchama does not work in Shmoneh Begadim. So then, let me show you first how I know that he doesn't hold a veva. The Tanya. Dvarim shebein kohen gadol lekohen hedyot. First, let's list all of the things that are different lahalacha between a kohen gadol and a kohen hedyot. First of all is the par of the kohen mashiach. That par of the kohen mashiach, which is the par haba kol mitzvahs. So that is in a case where a kohen mashiach makes a mistake in a hora'ah, and then he goes ahead and he follows his mistaken psak to be over on an Issacharis. So he brings a par, remember? But he does not bring, in the case where he does an Avera, he does not bring a normal chatas of a Yochid. So that's one big difference. If he's a Kohen Hedyot, there's no difference between him and any member of Yisrael in having done an Avera, and he brings a normal chatas Yochid, Kispa or Seira. Another difference between them is that the Kohen Gadol and only the Kohen Gadol could bring the par Yom HaKippurim. A Kohen Gadol and only the Kohen Gadol is bringing every single day the Chavitim, which is the Asirita Eifa. And as the other difference is, that the Kohen Gadol is not porea if he becomes an ovel. So the Kohen Gadol does not forego taking haircuts. He needs to continue to shape his hair. Lo poreim, he does not tear his begadim, but he can leave his begad farum from the bottom next to the ground by the cuff or the hem. The head yot milamala, but a normal Kohen, he tears his clothing like a Yisrael. The eno mitame lekrovav, and a Kohen Gadol, he does not bechalal go to the Beis HaKvaras, even for his closest relatives, and mitzuveh ala betula, he's bechuyev to marry only a betula, and he's muzhar ala almana, a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to take an almana, and he's machzir, the Kohen Hedyot is allowed to marry an almana, just cannot marry a grusha. And the Kohen Gadol, when he dies, that means that anyone that was in an Ir Miklat is going to go back out of Golis. Machzir et haratzeach, he's going to send him back to his own place, and this is not true of any other Kohen. Makriv onen, not only that, a Kohen Gadol actually continues to bring karbonos even on the same day that an immediate relative died, he brings, like we find in the Miluim. He's makriv onen, the same way that Aaron HaKohen was makriv, even though the deaths of Nadav Aviu took place on that day. But even though he's makriv onen, he's not ochel. He doesn't eat something as an onen. And he is not cholek. He does not take a chelek in a achila, because whoever is not able to eat cannot have a portion, even though he would still be allowed to eat this portion tonight, because there would be no iser of aninus laila. He doesn't get the portion, so he's not cholik as an einay. And furthermore, a Kohen Gadol, as opposed to a Kohen Gadiot, he has the right to take any chelek that he wants. He doesn't have to split it. He can simply come in and say, I'm going to take that steak, I'm going to take that brisket, and it's his. And he can also decide that he wants to be makriv, whatever he wants to be makriv. So even though the people that had their mishmar today, and they were the besav that's working today, and they were about to be makriv a particular carbon oil or whatever, he could say, I'm going to be doing that. Sorry, boys, bug off. So he's noto chelek mirosh, he's makriv chelek mirosh, and when he's mishamesh b'shmone begadim, as opposed to the Kohen Hedyot, who's mishamesh b'arba begadim. And furthermore, we learn out in Urias that he's potter al tumas migdash v'kedesha, that he does not have the carbon oil of a yoreid that everyone else has in the event that he was nichnas or that he ate kachim betumas haguf. And this is part of the same din, that this Kohen does not have the same din as the normal chato'ot of yachid either. He only has the halacha of the par of the Kohen Mashiach. V'chol avodot yom ha-kippurim, enan k'sherot elabo, and furthermore, everything that's being done on Yom Kippur is only kosher if it's being done by the Kohen Gadol. Now, so far, this has nothing to do with our sugya. Here is where we start getting involved in the question of what happens to Eva. So first of all, what happens if he is not a Mashuach? What happens if it's after the time of Yoshiyahu and the Shemen HaMishcha has been hidden and now he's only a Kohen Gadol by virtue of being a Merubah Begadim, meaning that when he puts on his Shemona Begadim, that and only that was Koveahim in the din of the Kohen Gadolah? Well, almost everything that we listed above are exactly the same, whether he's Mashuach or whether he's a Merubah Begadim. So kulam noagot b'merubah begadim, except for the par haba kol mitzvah. So that special par that's brought only by the Kohen Gadol is only when he's a Kohen Gadol who was mashuach to be a Kohen Gadol. If he's a Kohen Gadol because he's a merubah begadim, then he doesn't have these special dinim of karbonos that apply only to asher nimshach with the shemen hamishcha. And here's where the critical point is, kulan noagot b'mashuach she'avar. All of what we said above is exactly the same, even if he is a Kohen Gadol, who once was a Kohen Gadol, meaning that he used to be the Sgan, the Kohen Gadol became Posel. We made him the Kohen Gadol. And then after the Kohen Gadol, the original Kohen Gadol, went back to being kosher, we now switched them again, and we gave the original Kohen Gadol the din of the Kuhuna. What's the din of the Kohen who was now not in the position? He was over. He's the same, meaning that he would do all of the things that a Kohen Gadol does, except for bringing the par of Yom HaKippurim and bringing the Chavitim every day. That the Torah was koveya only one, and that was the one who's the active Kohen Gadol. Now, what does that mean? It means that everything that we said, including working in the Shemoneh Begadim, are going to take place even if he is now a semi-retired Kohen Gadol, right? Because he's a Meshor Shavar. Now imagine the situation. This means that the Kohen Gadol walks into the Beis HaMikdash one day, and who is there doing everything that he was going to be doing? The guy that had taken his place on last Yom Kippur, or maybe 3 Yom Kippurs or 50 Yom Kippurs ago. Now, obviously, this is a sticky situation, isn't it? And yet the Tana says, we don't worry about sticky situations. So that means that this Tana does not really consider Eiva to be a significant issue, because he's saying that the Shuach Shavar should still be wearing his Shmoneh Begadim and come in and do Aveda. And yet, this same Tana, as we're about to see in a minute, says that the Mashuach Bechama doesn't wear the Shmoneh Begadim. Uh-oh. So then that means that the reason that the Shmoneh Begadim aren't worn by the Kohen Mashuach Bechama is not because of Eva. There must be some other element that we're not aware of. So why did Abaye say, now we see it's not an Eva issue. Abaye said, that's the only reason. He's really rotely, except that the Chachomim said we have to worry about Eva. But here's a Tana that doesn't hold of Eva and still says that he can't do the Avodah and the Shmoneh Begadim. Take a look at the next words. That Kulan are Eina Nargot B'Mashuach Milchama. All of the above issues do not apply to a Kohen Mashuach Milchama, which means he does not do Avodah with Shmoneh Begadim. There's only 5 things that apply even to a Mashuach Milchama, and those are these 5 issues that appear in the parsha of the Kohen Gadol B'Nogea Avelut. So over there, those things actually do apply to anyone that was Mashuach, because that's the Lashon that it says there. Asher al Rosho, the specific Lashon, is the one of Shemen Mishchas Elohav Elav. So those things, yes. Asher Yitzak al Rosho Shemen HaMishcha, yes. And what are those 5 things, and only those 5 things, which do not include doing the Avodah with the Shemoneh Begadim? Those 5 things are Lo Poreya, so he doesn't let his hair grow as an Avel. Lo Poreim, he doesn't tear his Megadim as an Avel. He doesn't go to the Beit HaKvarot to be metame for his deceased relatives, even closest relatives. And he's mitzuveh al bitula, and he's muzar al almana. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, there's one additional thing, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, a Kohen Mashuach Milchama who dies is even magzir et harotzeach, k'divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So if he dies, someone who's in a ir miklat will leave the ir miklat. But that's only according to Rabbi Yehuda. The Chachomim say, eino machzer. But what's important to us right now, this is not our sugya. What's important to us is the fact that this Tana said that I'm not worried about the Eva that will affect the Kohen Gadol when a Kohen Shal Avar is going to be working side by side of the Shemoneh Begadim. And nonetheless, he says, can't have a Mashuach Bechama working in Shemoneh Begadim. So now I don't understand. Explain to me what the reason is. If the issue were Eva, then it should be Eva even to the Mashuach Sha'avar. Answers the Gemara, this doesn't prove that he doesn't hold of Eva. These are very delicate emotions, okay? If the Kohen Gadol sees the Kohen Gadol Sha'avar wearing Shmoneh Begadim, he does not feel competition. Because he knows that this guy is retired. He's not going to be vying for his position. And the fact that he once was in that position, he shares with him. And he feels that if this guy is still wearing his Shmona Begadim, that's because he is so choshev that he was actually in the same position that I currently, I inhabit that position. And therefore, it's only a sign of how important I am. So over there, he doesn't feel eva, because he feels b'dekavate. They share that madrega. But to suddenly say, well, it's not only a Kohen Gadol who wears Shmona Begadim, you know, it could be even a Kohen Mashur Milchama. That really gets him nervous. I mean, I thought the Shmona Begadim was only for the greatest of the great, which is me, because I'm the Kohen Gadol. Okay, so over there, the Chachomim were metakein not to wear it because of Eva, but we're not going to be choshish for Eva in the case of Mashuach Sha'avar. Now, Rabbi Avohu was sitting and saying this over, that this that Rav Dimi said, that a Kohen who is Mashuach Mochama is Meshamish B'Shmoneh Begadim, but he said it over in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. So Rav Ami and Rav Asi were Talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan. They made a show of showing their disapproval, and they turned their faces away. They didn't say anything, but boy, did they make it clear that Rabbi Yochanan never said that. Some say that actually what was said was, this was Reb Chiya Bar Ava, he said that Reb Ami and Reb Asi turned their faces away from Reb Chiya Bar Ava, not from Rabbi Abo, and it was Reb Chiya Bar Ava who had said it in Rabbi Yochanan's name. Says Rav Papa, that second way of reading it doesn't make any sense. See, I understand the way you said originally that Rabbi Abo said it, and they didn't want to say anything to Rabbi Abo, so they turned away from him, sort of in disgust. But they weren't going to say anything. Why? Because Rabbi Abo had a very, very harsh of a position in his political position. He was the one, Mishum Yikra, the Bekesar, he was the one who was very harsh of the Roman government. Remember when he came, we had the story, they used to come out, and the maids used to come out, and they used to sing to him, you know, about how choshev he is in Yisrael. So they weren't going to say anything to him because he was an extremely important person. But if it was Reb Chiya Bar Abba who was saying it over the name of Reb Yochanan, so Reb Ami and Reb Asi could have told him directly, would they have to make a face and turn aside? They could have said, no, it's a mistake. Reb Yochanan never said that. So all they needed to say, Neymar Lo Neymar, they could say it to his face. Lo Amar Reb Yochanan Hachi, I don't believe the second way. I believe the way you said originally, that it was Rabbi Abo. Anyway, when Ravin came, he said this entire discussion is moot. Nobody ever discussed the Aveda in Shmona Begadim. What we were talking about was Nish'al, that when we need to ask the Kohen Mashuach Milchama anything that he needs to ask to the Urim V'Tumim, he has to be wearing Shmona Begadim. That's what we were talking about, which accounts for the way that this is a continuation of our Mishnah that speaks of a Kohen Gadol who's being Nishal B'Urim V'Tumim, he needs to wear Shmona Begadim. And that's what it says, that that's true also in terms of a Kohen Mashuach Milchama. Tanya Nami Hachi, Begadim Shekohen Gadol Meshamesh Behem, Mashuach Milchama Nish'al Behem. That's the Lashon of the Braita. So the begadim that the Kohen Gadol wears when he's doing the Aveda, those are the begadim that a Kohen Mashuach Milchama has to wear when the Melech asks him questions at the war front to ask the Urim V'Tumim. Tanur Rabbanan, Ketzat Shoalim, what is the way in which we are Shoal the Urim V'Tumim? So the Shoel, the one who's asking, is facing the Kohen Gadol who is being asked. And the Kohen Gadol is facing the Shechina. Now, the Pashtus, of course, of the Shechina is that he would be facing towards the Arayin HaBris. And that is the way that the Rambam learns it. Rashi learns it. If that's the case, it means that the person who's asking the Kohen Gadol is facing the back of the Kohen Gadol. He's not going to sit there between the Kohen Gadol with his back to the Orin. So according to the Rambam, that's exactly what it means. The Kohen Gadol is facing the Orin, and in back of him is the Shoel, and he asks from the Kohen while the Kohen faces the Shechina. Rashi learns that the Klape Shechina does not mean the Orin HaBris. It means he's looking down on his begotim to the Urim v'Tumim, where the Shekhinah is going to be answering him. So he doesn't look at the Melech, he's facing the Melech, but he doesn't look at the Melech, he looks down at the Urim v'Tumim. That's what it means. HaShoel Omer, so the Shoel would ask, let's say, for instance, when David HaMelech needed to know whether he's supposed to chase the people that had captured all of his things, so should I run after them? And that's an actual question. That's a word for word quote from David. But listen carefully to the way he phrased it, because as we're going to see, he did it wrong. So David HaMelech said, shall I chase after them? And ha'asigenu, will I catch them? And the Shekhinah answered, Redov ki aseg tasig v'atzel tatzil. You will in fact catch them. Now, in this is the proper way. And then the Nish'al would say, Ko amar Hashem, yes indeed, go up, alei v'atzlach, you will go and you will find that you are successful. Now, this was not the answer to David. This was the answer about the whole problem of Ramot Gilad, to go up to Ramot Gilad. Yes, we will go up to Ramot Gilad. Fine. But that's a different thing. We're just giving different examples. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ein Tzarich Lomar Ko Amar Hashem. The Ko Amar Hashem is not the normal response of the Kohen Gadol, because it's obvious that he's responding to the question that's being asked of the Urim V'Tumim. All he needs to say is Alei V'Hatzlach. Now, furthermore, you should know, in Sha'alim Beko, if you're asking the Urim V'Tumim, you don't make your voice audible to other people, only to the one that is being the Kohen that's going to be asked. But you can't just think the question and expect to get an answer for a telepathic question. The question has to be actually mouthed by you in a way that the Kohen can hear, but nobody else can hear. So, Lomar Erbelibo, because it says, V'sha'al lo b'mishpat ha'orim lifnei Hashem. And then it says, Alpiv yetzu. But we're putting together the Alpiv with V'sha'al lo. So then that means that it needs to be Alpiv and it has to be lo. It only has to be to him, but it does have to be with his mouth. The same way that we learned by Chana, B'tfilata. She'nemar v'chana, hi medaberet al libash. So she was speaking in her heart, but she was moving her lips, and you could hear what she was saying if you paid close attention. It's not that she was just thinking. Not only that, another issue is you cannot make two inquiries simultaneously. Ein shalim shnei dvarim ke'echad. If you do make two inquiries simultaneously, you will only get an answer to one. So, im sha'al ein machzir ne'echad, and the one that you will get an answer to is your first question. Shenemar, now this is really weird, because in fact, the case that we're going to bring was an answer to the second question. And this was the case where David asked wrongly. And what he said was, Hayazgiruni va'alei ki'ilah bi'ado. Will the people in ki'ilah, are they going to give me into Shaul's hand? And then he said, Hayereid Shaul, is Shaul going to be coming here, and does he have information he's going to be coming here to ki'ilah, where I was hiding? So he wasn't sure if he should stay or he should leave. Now here, the answer was given only to one, but it was the second one. Vayomer Hashem Yered, completely ignoring the other question, as if he never asked the other question. Wait a minute, didn't you just say that the answer that you get will always be to the first question asked? And over here, we're giving you an answer to the second question. Va'amrit ein machzirin el rishon. Says the Gemara, Rishon means the thing that you should have asked. And David asked wrong. He asked Shalok Seder, what are you asking? Will the people of Ki'ilah give me over to Shaul before you asked, is Shaul going to be coming around here? Obviously, the first question is Shaul going to be coming? And if he does, are they going to hand me over? So the Rishon means the first one that should have been asked. So David asked wrongly. And the answer was the first question, which was the correct first question. Once he realized, oops, boy, did I did something stupid. So then he repeated the original question, you see. So, achar sheyada, sheshal shalokis seder, then he repeated the question, because the next pasuk says, after Hashem tells him, yes, Shaul is coming, Hayas giru ba'alei kila otivet anashai b'yad Shaul? Are they going to hand me and the people with me over? And the answer came, Yazgiru, they will be handing you over. Okay, so you better get the heck out of there. Anyway, however, as we saw before, there was a case where David asked the two questions, and that was the first time that we brought the Raya. And over there, it was because it was an emergency. If he needed an immediate answer, because every minute counted, that he had to chase after them, so then machzir and lo shnayim, then he will get both answers, because there, as we saw, vayishal David b'Hashem lemor, erdof acharei hagdud hazeh, should I chase after them? Will I catch them? Asigenu, if I do, vayomer lo redof, ki aseg tasig v'atzel tatzil, definitely, go chase them and you will succeed. Now, you should know that it could be when a Navi will say something bad is going to happen. It doesn't have to happen. Let's say Yonah HaNavi, right? So there, a Gezerah of a Navi can be Chuzer, because only a Gezerah LaTova is never Chuzer. But the Gezerah of the Urim V'Tumim, that is never Chuzer. Shenemar B'Mishpat HaUrim. And we're not Machzir Mishpat. And why were they called Urim V'Tumim? Urim is a Lashon of Or. Shemeirina Divrehem. They make light their words, meaning they make very clear, and they're very sharp and very specific. This is the word, Yazgir. Can't you give me any information? That's what you asked. That's your answer, Yazgir. And Tumim, Shemashli Mimet Ivrahim, they are Tam, because they always do what they say, meaning that there's no way around it the way there would be by a Navi. V'im tomar, so then you'll be bothered by the fact, well, I mean, they didn't do what they said when it came to Pelegesh Begiva, did they? When it came to Pelegesh Begiva, they told the people to go out and fight, and then they got killed. So, Pelegesh Begiva, Binyamin, b'nei ma lo yishlimu. They didn't keep their word. Excuse me? Sure, they kept the word. Did anybody ask whether they were going to succeed? They asked, should I go up and fight? And they said, sure. You should have asked whether you're going to win. I didn't say you're going to win. I said you're going to get killed. But you never asked. So that would be a very precise response. So, they didn't ask properly. Are we going out there to fight to win, or are we going out there to lose? But at the end, the third time that they asked, that was with Pinchas. Pinchas knew what he was doing. So Pinchas, when he asked, he made it very clear that, shall I go or shall I not go? Meaning, if I'm asking, shall I not go? Mean, am I going to be stupid in going? In other words, am I going to win or not? So over there, Shabicha knew when they did ask, then he's kimu. Then the Urim V'Tumim actually gave them the full information. Because there it says, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aharon omed lefanav bayamim ahem lemor, ha'osif od latzet lamilchama im b'nei binyamin achi im echdal. Or should I cease and desist all operations? Vayomer Hashem alu ki macharet inenu biyadecha. So actually, this time, yes, I'm telling you to go, not to desist. How exactly did the Urim V'Tumim respond? I mean, how did it communicate? Was it an LED screen, or how did you see the message on the Urim V'Tumim? So Ketzad Naaseit. So Rabbi Yochanan Omer Boltot, that the letters that spelled out your answer would jut out, they would protrude, and they would get larger. Reish Lakish Amar Mitzdarfot, that what they would do is that the Kohen would see it as if they've all come together into one word, and they would actually spell out the word. And there's different ways. Some learn they literally moved, but most understand that the Kohen would see the word in his mind. So they would spell out the answer, mitzdarfot. How could the Urim V'Tumim have told in the answer that you were going to actually be successful, right? And you could say, you're going to be matzliach, hatzel tatzil. There is no letter tzaddik in the Urim V'Tumim, because didn't the Urim V'Tumim just have the names of all of the Shvatim? Can you show me a tzaddi among the Shvatim, please? There is no tzaddi anywhere in the Shvatim. So how could it spell out if you're telling me that it wasn't an LED? So then there was no tzaddi. So where's the answer? Amar Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak, you forget that it also said the Shemes of the Oveis, Avram Yitzchak v'Yaakov, and there's a tzaddik in Yitzchak. Okay, but there's no tet. How do you get an answer with a word that has a tet in it? Amar Rav Acha bar Yaakov, at the end it listed all of the names of the Shvatim with the word Shiftei Yeshurun. And Shiftei Yeshurun includes also the tet. Now, Lamaisa, there are other letters that are missing, but once we have these answers, Avram Yitzchak v'Yaakov, we could have asked about the letter chet that doesn't appear in the Shvatim. The letter kuf doesn't appear in the Shvatim. But once we have Avram Yitzchak v'Yaakov, we answer those questions as well, so the Gemara didn't bother. Meisvei. Kol kohen she'enu medaber b'ruach HaKodesh. If a kohen does not have proper ruach HaKodesh, and the Shechina is not Shaira on him, so Ein Shalimlo, you cannot ask him to give you an answer from the Urim V'Tumim. Because we see this, because Tzadok, David HaMelech asked at the time that he was running away from Avshalom, so he asked Tzadok to ask at the Urim V'Tumim what he should do, and he got an answer. But when it asked Eviatar, Eviatar was not answered, and because of that, Eviatar was no longer, they stopped using him. It says, Vayal Eviatar atom kol ha'am, and Vayal means he left his position, even though before he used to be a Kohen Gadol that was responded to. So that means that apparently it's not that the letters light up or the letters protrude or the letters are mitztarev, it's that you need to have Ruach HaKodesh. So apparently, that's not the way you said. No, it doesn't mean that. It means that if the Kohen had Ruach HaKodesh, then that was to you having Misayeh Abahadayu. That would have meant that the Urim V'Tumim would work with the mind of the Kohen Gadol. That's what it means. But it's not that you couldn't read it. You could read it, except that it wouldn't work if you didn't have the Madrega of Ruach HaKodesh. Okay, next thing we said is Ein Shalim Ela LaMelech. How do you know that only a Melech or Mishat Zibur Tzorach or Bezdin? Omer Rabbi Abo, because the Torah says Beferish that Lifnei Elazar HaKohen Yamod. Here it's talking about how Yehoshua, when he's going to take over from you, Moshe Rabbeinu, he will stand Lifnei Elazar HaKohen V'sha'alo B'mishpat HaPurim Lifnei Hashem Al Piv Yetzu V'al Piv Yavo. And then it repeats, Hu V'cho B'nei Yisrael Ito V'cho La'ida. So what is that repetition of who? I mean, we just said he's the one that's going to be asking. What is that referring to? So who is a reference to Yehoshua, the din of a melech? And then Cho B'nei Yisrael Ito, that's the one that is leading the B'nei Yisrael into the war, that's the Meshur Milchama. And Kol Ha'ida, that's a reference to Sanhedrin. Adron Alach Bala Kohen Gadol. Yom HaKippurim Osir Bachila U'Bishtiya. And so we're beginning the final perek of Mesechet Yom HaKippurim. That means, as Tosis points out over here, what is it that we've achieved here? What is it that we've gone through? We started with the Shivas Yomim Kedem LeYom HaKippurim. That was the reconstruction of the Miluim and Har Sinai and those broad relationships to Yom HaKippurim. And then we went to Leil Yom HaKippurim and the way that we deal with the Kohen Gadol during the night and his reading and our reading to him, and the way that he's allowed to eat, and how we have to worry about Keri and so on. And then we got to all of the Seder of the Avedas Yom HaKippurim, which we now, Baruch Hashem, we took him through from the beginning in the morning. We've brought him all the way through to his home and to the party, and even to the next day when he meets up with the Kohen Mashuach Milchama. We have all of that. And now, at last, we have the Halachas of Yom HaKippurim that are Nogea Bizman Hazeh and are Nogea for everyone, which we will begin tomorrow in advance of the coming of Yom Kippur to be the day of the Nechama from the period that we're about to begin, a very sad period of the year. But meanwhile, we look forward to seeing you tomorrow. Okay, everybody, Chizku V'Yimtzu, and we're back on schedule, finally.